The Florida Horse Podcast is presented by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association.
Welcome to the Florida Horse Podcast, brought to you by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. I'm your host, Tammy Gant, and I'm joined today by Executive Director Annie Mangan with Advent Health Foundation. Let's get started. Welcome to the studio today, Amy. It's so great to see you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, and I'm very excited. I know it's been a bit of time for us to try to get together, but you have a wonderful initiative that relates to the equine industry that I know you wanted to share. But before we get into that, would you like to talk a little bit about your role and what you do at Advent Foundation?
I'd love to. So I am the executive director of the Advent Health Foundation for Ocala, and that is serving our nonprofit hospital. We're a community hospital, and this is the philanthropy arm for the hospital.
That's wonderful. And so I know with philanthropy and how much that Advent Health is involved in the community, that there's an opportunity here to really be life-changing for people in the equine world and the equine workers that we see every day that work closely to our horses. In fact, there's more than 23,500 jobs that are touched by the equine community here in our county.
It really is, and I have to just say a big thank you to the horse farm community who made me aware of this initiative. A group of horse farm owners, when they heard that I had begun my work at Advent, approached me and shared with me the issue of accessible health care for their equine workers. And that was the genesis of this program that we are now calling Harnessing Health. And we are creating, hopefully, a very accessible health care service for the equine farm workers.
Yeah, and I know one of the things that you did as soon as you heard about this is you said we have to do some research. We have to really delve into what is the exact line of thinking and what we need to do to really be the most effective for equine workers. Do you want to talk a little bit about what some of those outcomes were?
Absolutely. So when this issue was brought to our attention, I shared it with our hospital leaders, and we first wanted to make sure that we were assessing the right problem and diagnosing and prescribing the right solution. So we formed an internal team to assess what are the resources that are currently in existence for this community, what are the gaps, and then what is the appropriate role for Advent Health to serve? Because we know there's a litany of other resources that are available. And so we stood up an internal task force, and we did our own homework and research. And we also did the horse farm tour. We met with horse farm owners and managers, and we also toured one of our own Advent Health facilities that we thought might could be a model. And we identified a couple of things, Tammy. One is access. While there are a multitude of resources, they're not accessible. And I think what really struck the team and I is it took us 6 weeks to properly assess what are all the variety of resources that are currently available. And if it took us 6 weeks, our farm workers don't have that luxury of time, right?
Yeah, they're busy on the farm 6 to 7 days a week, and so how can they make that connection? And so when you say accessibility, too, they're on the farms. They're not necessarily out in the community looking for those or having access to get to those locations.
That's right. So it's transportation or lack thereof. It's time. And there might be other barriers that prevent them from wanting to go to a facility to seek care. Mm-hmm. And those are really the top three issues that we identified. So then we drilled down, and the hospital team said, well, then what is our role? Advent Health, they live by their ministry. We extend the healing ministry of Christ. We see our community as our family. And you will see if you go to any hospital facility, we wear our hearts here and we say who we care for. And we care for our community like a loved one. And we definitely saw this was a perfect alignment of mission for this really critical community. So what does that mean? And we identified, what if we come to them? And that requires a mobile health clinic.
Yeah, and so I know you identified, okay, mobile health clinic first, and then I think you also, when you looked at an underserved community, you realized that many of the people that work on our farms actually speak a second language, or their primary language is Spanish, and so I know that was a little bit of your fact-finding that you discovered.
It was. So first, we identified there is a need, and we felt that we could fill that need, and when I say we, it's both the hospital and the foundation. So first, I went to my board. I have an amazing board of volunteers for Advent Health Foundation Ocala, and they voted to endorse this as a funding priority. And then we also agreed to invest $25,000 from one of our funds to get this started. And another very generous horse farm owner gave me another donation. And if I can raise an equal amount, there will be a match. But we still have a ways to go. Our total for this particular type of equipment and mobile health care clinic is $350,000. So it's great if we can raise the dollars for that, but who's going to coordinate that? Who is accessible, to your point, that can speak and is bilingual to those community leaders and the community members? So the hospital said, you know what, we will invest in creating a healthcare navigator position, ideally bilingual, and they will help coordinate all of those resources and the mobile healthcare clinic. But the hospital also in 2025 is going to launch a graduate medical residency with emphasis on family medicine.
And this is very exciting, the idea that you have that graduate program, and then from my understanding is they will be able to go out into the field and serve in the mobile unit, so they're able to get hands-on experience but also serve the community.
Absolutely. It's a perfect alignment for their training, for their education, and for their service. And so that program begins in 2025. And our hope is that we have raised the adequate funds to secure a mobile healthcare clinic. We've hired a healthcare navigator or a community relations leader, and then we will have the graduate residents that can actually begin with the services.
Yeah, because I think that you can have the healthcare navigator, but they're not actually your healthcare professional, the one that's actually running diagnostics, finding out what the person may need actually in the healthcare realm. The navigator simply is saying, here are those resources in addition to what we're able to provide. So the idea of the mobile unit is it would go on to horse farms or on to areas where it would be accessible and folks would know in advance they're coming out, this is what we're doing today.
That's exactly right. We see the navigator as that comprehensive coordinator, if you will, that will help coordinate between the horse farms, the workers, and the clinicians. And it's important to know that the reason that we need to raise those dollars is so that we can adequately provide the resources in the mobile healthcare clinic, the screening, the tools, the equipment that the clinicians need.
Yeah, and that it adds up to quite a bit, because $350,000 may seem like a lot, but in the healthcare world, for all the types of things that are needed for a mobile clinic, that's a very reasonable ask, I think, as far as encouraging folks to be involved in such a project.
We think so, and I just really appreciate already the partnership with FTBOA. You know, you're a tremendous leader in our community, and giving us the opportunity to share our story and hopefully connect us with others that are interested in making a donation to help us get there.
Yeah, and I think that Advent Health also has been a wonderful community partner. We've seen it through and through. So those that aren't familiar with your system, it's a system that really, really comes from that place of belief and faith and how to help make a difference in people's lives. And you can see that through and through. And I think this is a good example. You have an underserved community that many people in our industry have identified for many, many years, but they didn't tackle the problem the way that you came about, which said, here is something that's been called to our attention. Let's look at that. Now let's look at a way that we can do research to see specifically, can we fill that need? Because sometimes the match isn't there. And as far as how that need and how you need to come together with your goals. So you've got accomplished that. And then part two, which is saying what is specific needs of that community? And then how can we get there? And the third prong of that is saying, okay, we have our board that's behind it. The FTBOA board is behind it. The farms are behind it. And so now you've got all the legs of the stool that makes it a very viable opportunity to make it happen.
We do. And we see this as a collaboration with those other resources that I mentioned and how we can make each other better and make our community better as a result. And I just have to say that working with the hospital leadership has been so inspiring in this. When I approached this issue with our CEO, Erica Skula of the hospital, she said immediately, what can we do and what is our role?
Yeah, and I think the same was true for our CEO, Lonnie Powell, and then also our president, George Isaacs, and they both said, what can we do? And one of those things was to give you opportunity to have that conversation with our board. And I know one of our board members, Nick Demerick, his wife, Jackie Demerick, is actually very involved with this process because she's been hands-on with farm ministry for many years and seeing a possible role that someone could play in the community.
Jackie is a public servant, in my opinion, and it's been just such a joy to get to know her in this process. And she's my champion, my advocate, and our hospital advocate. And so she really has been my partner in helping to identify, you know, what are some potential donors that might be interested. And she walks the talk, and so does George Isaac. George is on my board. I just applaud his leadership. He has made our community just so much richer in the right ways because of his service. And of course, he's your board chair as well.
Yeah. He's a very giving person. He's on a number of community and university boards and college boards that really help push forward the mission of our industry, but also how it connects with the community as a greater whole, because we all are in this together, no matter what sector we're in. And so going back just a little, what is the timeline that you're looking at as far as this being able to launch if the funding were able to come through and the matches and all that type of thing?
As soon as possible is the short answer. You know, we are already in the process of looking to hire for that healthcare navigator position. That will be a big resource for us to begin to still stand up this initiative, but we need the mobile healthcare clinic. So the sooner we can raise those dollars, then we can purchase the van. That will take some time, mm-hmm. and we recognize that. And so we really do want to get to 100% of our funding so that we can make that purchase.
Yeah, sooner than later, so that when the students for the 2025 graduate program are available, that it's already ready and waiting for them.
That is what great looks like to me, that they arrive in Ocala and they have this wonderful training opportunity, and that's going to be a core part of their residency. And we have a beautiful, functional mobile healthcare clinic, and that we can already begin to help those horse farm workers who need it the most.
Yeah, for sure. And so I know this is a little bit of a different role for you than you had in the past, by understanding. So is this one of the first initiatives, or you have some other initiatives that are community-based that may not be equine that you'd like to share briefly?
So I am an Ocala native. I was born in this hospital. My husband was. My children were. And it has been wonderful, Tammy, to come home. And this is already part of my family, and I am just so honored to be able to serve Advent Health. But I've always been about relationships throughout the course of my career in stakeholder engagement and community relations, and that's really what I see in this role. It's not just about fundraising dollars. It's about establishing relationships so that we all make our community better.
Yeah, and I think the blessings of the talents that you've been given, they all serve you really, really well in this role. It brings together, I think, your life philosophy with the fact that you were born and raised here, and then connecting back to the community. So it's just a perfect role for you.
It is, and it's so rewarding to be able to raise dollars for this very special community in the horse farm world. You know, as a little girl, my dad and I would take Sunday drives and just driving out in the horse farms, and now I'm there to help, and I'm just so honored to be able to be a small part of this, and hopefully we can get there as soon as possible. And we do have one other funding initiative to raise dollars for our labor and delivery, because we are the sole provider of birthing children in Ocala, Florida, in Marion County, and we want that to be as rich an experience as possible for all the mothers. So more to come.
More to come. Well, stay tuned. Thank you very much for coming into the studio today. And we'll post some information on our podcast so folks can get involved in ways that can be helpful to this project and any other projects you may have going on.
Well, thank you. And thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
The Florida Horse Podcast is presented by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association.